నార్థోపలేరయమురుక్రమపాదశౌచం ఆపశిఖాధృతవతో విబుధాభిపత్యం యో వై ప్రతిశ్రుతం ఋతే నాచికీర్షదన్యాత్ ఆత్మానం అంగమనసాహరయేభిమేనే నార్థో బలేరయం ఉరుక్రమ పాదశౌచం ఆపశిఖాధృతవతో విభూధాభిపత్యం యో వై ప్రతిశ్రుతం ఋతే నాచికీర్షద్ అన్యత్ ఆత్మానం అంగమనసాహరయేభిమేనే నార్థో బలేరయం ఉరుక్రమపాదశౌచం ఆపశిఖాధృతవతో విభుదాభిపత్యం యో వై ప్రతిశ్రుతం ఋతే నచికీర్షదన్యత్ ఆత్మానం అంగమనసాహరయేభిమేనే నార్థో బలిరయమురుక్రమ ఆపశిఖాధృతవతో విబుధాధిపత్యం యో వై ప్రతిశ్రుతం ఋతే చికీర్షదన్ Matajis, so we'll continue from the half purport and translation of from yesterday. Translation: Bali Maharaj, who put on his head the water washed from the lotus feet of the Lord, did not think anything besides his promise, in spite of being forbidden by his spiritual master. The king dedicated his own personal body to fulfill the measurement of the Lord's third step. For such a personality, even the kingdom of heaven, which he conquered by his strength, was of no value. Purport: The primary information of the kingdom of God informs us that there is no need of sun, moon, or electricity, which are all unnecessary in this material world of darkness. All the secondary and the secondary information of the kingdom of God explains that anyone able to reach that kingdom by adoption of the civilization of the soul proper, or in other words, by the method of bhakti yoga, attains the highest perfection of life. One is situated in the permanent existence of the soul with full knowledge of transcendental loving service for the Lord. Bali Maharaj accepted this civilization of the soul in exchange for his great material possessions and thus became fit for promotion to the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven, which he achieved by dint of his material power, was considered most insignificant in comparison with the kingdom of God. Those who have attained the comforts of a material civilization made for sense gratification should try to attain the kingdom of God by following in the footsteps of Bali Maharaj, who exchanged his acquired material strength, adopting the process of Bhakti Yoga as recommended in the Bhagavad Gita and further explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So I welcome everyone for the daily morning Srimad Bhagavatam class. This was instituted by our founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada, that daily we study a bit of Bhagavatam to enrich our devotional lives. And I beg for mercy and prayers from all the devotees who can pray that I can say something which will enrich my own spiritual life as well as their own. So this purport today mentions about the spiritual world and the material world. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions that. So we'll see how we can compare and contrast the material world with the spiritual world in today's talk, whatever available time is there. Generally, we see people happy in three places. One is in the movies, one is on the billboards, we see some happy faces, and one is on the TV sets, televisions. Usually that is the case. Rest, material life is a struggle. In movies, normally especially in the Hindi movies, you will see the actors and the heroines, they are in one part of the song, they are in the Swiss Alps throwing snow at each other, not even wearing some winter clothes, and they are not feeling so cold also. In other half of part of the song, you will see them maybe on some cruise boat with hairs flying in the wind, blue ocean and contrasting red dress. I mean, I'm describing it just to show that what is the happiness which is being shown. Then in other part of the song, you will see they may be in some of the fields of Punjab, yellow flowers, mustard seeds and Usually you won't find people doing like this in real life, right? I mean, this is the standard of happiness which we get to see only in the movies. Even in religious movies, there was a very old movie, Ten Commandments, in which there is this Acharya, Moses, and Jesus revealed to him, I mean, God revealed to this Moses as a burning bush. And that was a bush which kept on burning. It, the fire didn't die down. The bush didn't become small. And there were these 10 commandments which were given to him, engraved on stone. And he came. And I'll just, in short, give a story. So then his followers were suffering at the hands of some king. And then he prayed to God. And the sea parted. Actually, there was a path revealed, straight road. And all the followers started escaping from that road. And then the king came to know who was oppressing them, that this, they are running away, they are escaping. So then he sent all his armies, but by that time they had crossed. And then when the armies were in the middle, the sea closed and all the soldiers died. So some kind of paritranaya sadunam vinashaya cha dushkritam dharma sansthapanarthaya sambhavami. But even in such a religious movie, it is shown that Moses is having some love affair with someone. I mean, it's common, we know it, right? In every movie, there has to be some kind of, as Radhana Swami says, that some lust and some anger, it has to be there in every thing. That's what people come for. And usually the saints are told to stay away from this thing, lust and anger, rajogun and tamogun. Why? Because there's this, even everywhere in Bhagavad Gita also this shloka comes, dhyaya to vishayan pumsan. It's like the same thing, if you see it gets triggered. That's what happened to Ajamil also. I remember from a small thing from my personal life, there was a Janmashtami day and we were fasting whole day. I was just sitting here with the kirtan group accompanying the singers for playing. I was playing flute. So as it is, flute means you need to blow wind, air, and you are already fasting throughout the day. So very hungry. And then it was around 4:30 p.m. we started the kirtan. And the kirtan was supposed to last till 12 a.m. or maybe 12:30 till the people take all the darshan. So there used to be this VIP abhishek which takes place with a small utsav deities. So there was a kirtaniya who did the abhishek and then came and sat. He was a mridanga player. So they gave some packets of prasad big after the abhishek, special complimentary gift. So I was looking at that, then I just asked, what's there in that? He said, Prabhuji, you need something. So I said, I just want to have a look. So then when I looked, then he said, there is this sandesh is there. So I said, can you just keep one sandesh here? So then he said, yes, yes, sure. So then I kept it on a piece of paper, some invitation card or something. It was nice having a flower design engraved on it. And it was a mango flavored sandesh. There was strands of saffron, kesar. And there was this almond was half, which was pressed into it. And I'm just confessing. So while I was playing the flute, I could look here. I could look at the devotees. I could look at the deities. My eyes were at the sandesh. For 8 hours straight. 4:30 p.m. to around 12:30 a.m. So that's what I'm trying to explain is that whatever is in the mind, wherever the consciousness is, after that I recollected as if how Bilwa Mangal Thakur was told by his girlfriend, so-called, that if you had this much devotion for God, you would have become a great saint. So if I would have had that much concentration for the holy name for Krishna, maybe I would have seen Krishna playing the flute. Anyway, so that is how one gets diverted. Then, so these are the movies. What about the televisions we see in TV series? Usually in the afternoons, we see a big bungalow is there, nice posh car is there, fully furnished, kitchen is there, well lit, and the housewife is there. She's dressed in some decked up Banarsi sari and very delicate hand. She's rolling chapatis. Some music is playing. This is usually not in a normal household. I mean, it's not so rosy picture as it is shown. What the reality is, it is said just like, what's the difference between a wedding and a welding? Welding is first the sparks fly and the joint takes place. In a wedding, first the joint takes place and then the sparks keep flying and flying and flying. That means there are misunderstandings and so many things. There's a Hindi song, material song, which says, "Pal bhar ke liye koi mujhe pyar kar le, jhoota hi sahi. Somebody may love me even in a false way, but jhoota hi sahi." So, but there is a real world of happiness, which Srila Prabhupada is talking about in this purport, that one can aspire for. In the 10th canto, when Vasudev and Nand Maharaj are parting from Mathura, there is a verse which Nand Maharaj says, that Naikatra Priya Samvaso Suridam Chitra Karmanam, that everyone wishes to stay close with the family members, with friends, with people who love them. Priya Samvaso. But Suridam Chitra Karmanam, everybody has an individual, unique, separate karma. And because of that, what happens is, Oghena Vyuda Mananam, Shrotaso Plavanam Yata. Just like in a river, the two leaves or two sticks come together, they flow together for some time, and then they part. Similarly, all the living entities, who are close to us or whom we meet, they come together, we have our own individual chitra karmanam. We stay for some time together, but not for always. There's another shloka which I think Kunti Maharani says. It is something to the effect that we are all meeting as if in a hotel or in a place where drinking water is there. So it's not that we can be totally comfortable with the same situation. The situation will change. And there is a very interesting essay written by Ravindra Swarup Prabhu. He says that there is a tendency in everyone to love unlimitedly. That is what is shown in the movies. Unlimited, unending, happy ever after. Where is this tendency coming from? We see in the material world, nothing we see as permanent. All our heroes, all our children, lovers, friends, all have a life, shelf life, temporary, and they have material bodies. The mind also is material. Somebody may be on the mental platform. So, inside, everyone knows that we want to love, have some happy situation unlimitedly, permanently. But since this world is temporary and material, we cannot love without restraint and we cannot love without fear. There is always some element of fear which in general people take for granted that, okay, that is there. But that should not be the case. Just like there's a verse which comes in the 10th canto which explains how the devotees of Krishna experience each individual different rasas from Krishna. It is said when Krishna and Balaram were entering the wrestling arena of Kamsa Maharaj. So, Malla Nam Ashnir, those who were wrestlers, when they saw Krishna and Balaram, they saw Krishna and Balaram as lightning thunderbolt, such a strong men. Niram Naravara, the men of Mathura saw them as the best of human beings. Naravara, Srinam Smaro Murtiman, those who were the ladies of Mathura, they saw Krishna Balaram as Murtiman Kamadev, Smaram Murtiman. Gopanam Swajano, the cowherd men saw Krishna as his just relative, those who had come from Vrindavan. Shasta Kshiti Bhujam, those who were the impious rulers, they saw Krishna as a big chastiser, a big king who will give them punishment. Then Swapitaro Shishu, those who were his parents, they saw Krishna as a small child and they were feeling, how come these small, soft-bodied children will fight such huge wrestlers like Chanura and Mushtik, huge bulging biceps and muscles. And then those who were, and Kamsa himself, Bhojpatir, Mrityur, Kamsa saw Krishna as death. This is my death coming, death personified. Virad avidusham tatvam param yoginam. Those who were unintelligent people, they saw Krishna as the supreme universal form, something which is not understood so easily. And those who were yogis who were present in that assembly, they saw Krishna as their Paramatma on whom they meditate as the absolute truth. And the Vrishnis, who were the family members of Krishna, they saw him as the most worshipable deity. So, what we are trying to explain is that Krishna can give you the rasas in permanent and full way. In the Bhagavad Gita, 11th chapter, there is a shloka which comes. Krishna says, Tasmatvam uttishta yasho labhasva. To Arjun, he is saying that get up and get the fame. And then he says, Jitva shatrun bhungsva rinam. And then finally says, Nimitta matram bhava savyasachi. He is telling Arjun that just become an instrument in my hands. So, in the purport, Prabhupada writes very interesting lines. He says that in this material world, there's a specific plan which is being carried out. Such an interesting line, right? For the person who have not taken shelter of Krishna, they will feel very sad that am I being like a puppet? But yes, that is true. For a devotee, it is very nourishing to hear this, that there is a specific plan being carried out. And what is that plan? Srila Prabhupada says that this whole cosmic manifestation is a chance for the conditioned souls to go back home, back to Godhead. Srila Prabhupada has mentioned this. So, there was one time a tigress moving in the forest with her cubs. And then suddenly there was some hurricane, cyclone came. And she was separated with one of the cubs. Four of them were there, three remained with her, and one of them went and joined the pack of deers. And since he was very small, he started thinking that I am also one of them. He also started eating and drinking like them. Then one day, this tigress saw the deers, and she came running, charging to attack. She was hungry. And then she saw that there is one cub who looks just like me. And seeing that, she kind of got bewildered and all the deer ran away. So this cub who was with the deer, he started crying, oh, my mother, mummy, everybody, my brothers ran away. Everyone ran away. And then the tigress told him, you are not one of them. You are my son. He said, no, no, leave me, don't trouble me, let me. He started crying for his mother. Then she said, you'll not understand this way. She took him near the river and then told him, see your face. You have a mustache, I have a mustache also. You have those lines and hairs, see. And then he said, yes. And then see, your voice is also like me. You are part of me. So similarly, in this material world we come And we start identifying with this material world, this body, this mind, and we start thinking that we are of this material world. To take a small movie example again, usually this thing happens in Hindi movies again. There are two brothers, one of them gets separated in some fair or something. They both have some tattoo on their maybe left hand or right hand. They become enemies, big dons, and they are fighting. In the end scene, they see, "Arey, you have the same thing which I have and you have. Bhai, bhai." So then they become friends. So what I'm trying to say is that we need someone who can reveal that we are not part of this place. We need devotees who explain, "You are brother of Krishna. You have to go back to the spiritual world." Now let us do a small comparison between material persons, spiritual persons, material world and spiritual world. There are four types of conceptions. In general, the whole population of this world, in general, falls into four categories. One category feels that this material world is real and spiritual world is not real. These are the scientists and the people who think that there is no spiritual world. Just the technology is there, everything is a chemical combination. So yes, this is called as materialism. But the problem is, although there are so many comforts which one gets, the life is become easy, but mental issues keep on rising. That is one thing. Then there is I've jumped a lot in my notes. Anyway, we'll continue with this. Then there is a group of people who say that neither the material world is real nor the spiritual world is real. There was some big writer who said that the only question worth asking is whether to commit suicide. Means whether, because nothing, they don't see any point in life, any point in living. So this is kind of shunyavadi, nihilism. There is no reality to either this world, no goal in life. Third group is who feel only the spiritual world is real. This material world is false. So this technically it is called as mayavad. Brahma satyam jagan mithya. So what happens with this conception of life is that person who is in this thought process, he totally becomes kind of disinterested in this material world, not taking proper care in this material world. One of the historians, they say, one of the reasons for India's falling down in the foreign hands, invaders, was the spread of this Mayavad philosophy, because everybody thought that anyway this world is mithya, this world is unreal. But then the other group who was thinking that the material world is real, the achievements in this material world are real, they took the advantage of this and they immediately conquered and took over India. So that is another, this is not, I mean, these three conceptions which we said, that only the material world is real, nothing is real, or only the spiritual world is real. These are incomplete conceptions. And the fourth conception is, material world is also real and spiritual world is also real. Although material world may be temporary. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells Arjuna, "Mam anusmara yuddhecha," that you fight, but remembering me. So this world is worth fighting for. It's not that one has to give up this material world. And this is technically called as personalism or bhakti conception of life. Anusmara, when it is said, it establishes our connection with the Supreme Lord. Our connection that we can aspire for something higher for the spiritual world. And yuddhacha means that we have to make this world also in harmony with the spiritual world, that we can also achieve so many things in relation to Krishna. Rupa Goswami, he says that this shloka yuktam vairagya uchyate. So he says that everything in this material world can be engaged in the service of the Lord. And usually it is said, the materialists, there was, I think, during Srila Prabhupada's time, there was a Back to Godhead article, Who is Crazy? The materialists feel that the spiritualists are crazy. And the spiritualists feel that materialists are crazy. Bhagavatam, the shloka comes, Nunam Pramatta Kurute Vikarma. Pramatta means mad. So, because of Hridaya Granthi, because of trying to enjoy without Krishna, these people are mad. And then, Prahlad Maharaj, he instructs his classmates and he explains that how the transcendental person, he is Nishamme Karmani Gunan Atulayan, Viryani Leela Tanubhi. Then he says, Gad Gadam Protkanta Udgayanti Roti Nityati. A devotee, when he hears about Krishna, his throat becomes gadgad, means his voice falters, his hair stands on end, tears flow from his eyes, and he openly dances, sings loudly, sometimes he cries, and then he expresses transcendental jubilation. Prahlad Maharaj is explaining to his friends, classmates. So these are not artificial emotions. These are true emotions which are experienced in relation to Krishna. I remember when I was in white color, very new, so I had gone to distribute some books in trains in this Bombay Central Station. So the train was August Kranti, AC, full AC train. So then I was showing this some books to the people and people were seeing. In the meantime, a beggar passed by me and in my ear he said something. He said, professional beggar. I was like, what he said? So he thought almost that I am also just begging, but professionally, trying to collect money by selling books. But then he doesn't understand that I am not making money for myself. It's like we had in previous days, the cassette. Both are rotating. One is filling up, one is getting empty. So one is getting karma like Arjun and Duryodhan. Both are fighting for the same piece of land. Both are using the weapons. But one is doing for dharma, one is not doing for dharma. So who's crazy? That we have to know. For example, there's a saying which says that the old know that young are mad or young are fools. And young feel that old men are fools. But the old men know that young men, they don't have so much experience in life. Now somebody may ask that you explained that there is a spiritual world. But how do you know it exists or not? Srila Prabhupada was one time asked by some person who's not in devotion. He asked Srila Prabhupada that you are doing so much of austerities, so many rules, regulations, chanting and so many things. Suppose at the end of your life you come to know that there is no spiritual world. There is nobody called Krishna. Srila Prabhupada thought for a moment and then he said, fine, even if there is no Krishna, but we lived a good life, we ate nice tasty prasad, we saw beautiful deities, we associated with people who are aspiring for higher values in life. In this world, people are usually proud of becoming more and more angry and more lusty. Here people are trying to curb those negative tendencies. And then Srila Prabhupada went on to ask him, and suppose at the end of your life, you come to know that there is a spiritual world and there is Krishna. You have not had nice prasad, you have not seen beautiful deities, you have associated with just material things. So what is waiting for you? You have lived such a sinful life. So then spiritual world, some people ask like that. So, just not a very technical explanation, a thought can be given that this material world in general, if not distressing, there's a type of outreach where people explain that how this material world is trouble, trouble, trouble. Some people may not be feeling so much trouble. They may feel, one time I was distributing books at a table, and a young man came with a bike, and he just almost like a skid on the bike in front, and then he said, "What's all this about?" I said, "Bhagavad Gita, this world is troublesome." He said, "Life is cool. I'm enjoying life. Life is fun." And I mean, he was so convinced that I was feeling that whether I'm in the right place, maybe I should be other side of the table. So there are people who may feel that material world is not so bad, but then still at least one thing is there, that material world has a repetitive, boring, at least it's a boring place. Every day people have to do the same ablutions, same duties, same jobs, same studies, same so many. And that's why we see the movie industry is booming so much. People, although they know that the characters in the movies are fictional, any Marvel movie comes or some Harry Potter novel comes, it's all going full house. And people like to create some virtual world in which they can escape from this boring thing. Although they know that it's not real. They know. We don't need to convince them. They like to believe that there's a half man and a half bat, half man and a half Spider-Man. But they won't like to believe that there's a half man and a half lion, Narasimha Dev. So, that's what I said. Jhoota hi sahi. People are ready to escape from this boring rut. But then, where is this tendency coming from? We can explore this thought that it is natural to believe in supernatural. It is natural for people to have faith in somebody who has supernatural powers, and that is what is the spiritual world about. So why not try for that? And then there is something about the attractiveness of the spiritual world, which Srila Prabhupada mentions in this purport, that there is no time there. There is no need of sun, moon. In Bhagavatam, there is this shloka comes where it says that Nacha Kala Vikrama, in the second canto only. We are in the second canto, 7th chapter. In the 9th chapter, this shloka comes. Nacha Kala Vikrama. And then in the, that means there is no time in the spiritual world. And somebody may ask, but then what do you mean by saying this? That there is no time. And there's, some people say that time is conspicuous by its absence. And there is this great author of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. He has written Govinda Lilamrita, book on pastimes of Lord Krishna, how Krishna performs some pastimes in the morning, some pastimes in the afternoon, some pastimes in the evening. So there is time. In the Sharad season, there is a beautiful moon which comes in the spiritual world, seeing that the Krishna has Ras Leela. So there is one shloka which comes in the Bhagavad Gita, very famous shloka. Time I am the great destroyer of the worlds. Krishna is saying, Kalosmi loka kshaya krita pravriddho. And it is also said that the father of the nuclear weapon, Oppenheimer, who invented the first nuclear weapon, when he saw the great destruction of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, when the bomb exploded, he remembered this shloka. He was an ardent student of Bhagavad Gita. A lot of thing about him also. So then he remembered this, that time I am the destroyer of all the material worlds. So he quoted that. So what it means is that when we say that spiritual world is not having this, which means is that there is no destruction or fear associated with it. In Bhagavad Gita, the shloka comes, Na tad bhasyate suryo, na shashanko na pavaka. There is no moon, no sun. Yad gatva na nivartante. Once one goes there, na nivartante, he does not come back. Tad dhama paramam mama. That is my spiritual abode. And in Bhagavatam, very famous shloka comes, that with every rising and setting the sun takes away the life of a person. Every day. Ayur harati vai pumsan. Udyanastanna aso. So only one who is engaged in hearing and in bhakti yoga about Krishna, his life is not decreased. In what sense? Usually there are three phases of time. Another shloka which comes as shoka moha bhayapaha. There are three parts of time. One is the past, one is the present, one is the future. Usually people are lamenting about their past. Shoka, that whatever happened, I could have been much better, I could have studied better, or I could have whatever. So that is past. Present, one is in illusion. Moha, one feels, how I can be happy? How I can be happy more and more and more? I remember in my school days, we used to have this NCC training where we were taught to shoot rifles. We used to have a camp and small rifles with small bullet, 0.2 to something. So we were lying down, and then somehow I shot in the air. My aim was not so good. So it made a sound, that bullet sound which comes in the movies. So I liked that sound. So I started shooting in the air, and the target was in front. So then the sir, he was the commander, he came with a stick. Who's shooting in the air? So I immediately put my rifle down. And then he said, in Hindi he said, ki, I was a very great shooter in my time. But then I was smoking also. So then my hand was shaking. So I could not shoot well then. So then I left it. So we asked him, sir, kya choda? What did you leave? Did you leave shooting or did you leave smoking? He said, of course I left shooting. I can't leave smoking. So everyone is trying to become happy in this material world. Everyone is trying to enjoy in this material world. So that is what the time is taking away the life of a person in the present. One is thinking of how to enjoy, moha. And about the future, bhaya. One is fearful. What will happen? What will happen next in my future? How things will go on? So in the Padma Puran, Krishna, there's one shloka which Krishna says, Naham tishthami vaikunte. I am not in Vaikuntha. Yoginam hridayeshuva. I am not in the heart of the yogis. Yatra gayanti madbhakta, where my devotees are singing my glories, tatra tishthami Narada. He is telling Narada that I am in that place. Now, if we just analyze this a little bit logically, Naham tishthami vaikunte. Krishna is not in Vaikuntha? Of course he is. Then he is saying, Yoginam hridayeshuva. Krishna is in the heart of each and every living entities. Why not in the heart of yogis? But what it means is that he is not perceivable to us in these two places. In the material world, when we say that Krishna is in Vaikuntha, very difficult to understand that. Very difficult to understand that Krishna is in the heart. But it is very easy to understand Yatra Gayanti Madbhakta. Usually when some people come to the temple, anyone who comes for the first time, even I remember when I came, you feel something different. Some vibes are different. The environment is so transcendental. Just to quote a small thing, when I initially came to one of the ISKCON temples, he was the temple president. After Bhagavatam, they used to distribute this kheer, very small drone, like we are accustomed to such a big drone. It was a mini drone kind of, and they distributed some sweet rice. So he gave me that, and when I tasted, I don't know, I remember it tasted so tasty. So I just drank it and was talking to him. He filled it again. Like this, he filled it about 10 times. And I was not understanding why he's filling it up. And then I took it, and then there was this breakfast after the class there is. So suppose if somebody gives sweet rice, and then he took me to the breakfast, and there he gave me again a big glass of sweet rice, same sweet rice. Of course, This is not kind of a bribe, but there's a different experience which one has. So, yatra gayanti mad bhakta. So, he is in the spiritual world, he is in the hearts of the yogis also. So, here the today's purport mentions that how Bali Maharaj, he accepted the civilization of the soul. The choice of words of Prabhupada is so amazing, right? The civilization of the soul. And then he explained that this is what is Bhakti Yoga. So, if we want to have freedom from the fear of time, from the fear of sun's rising and setting, from all our cravings, from all the Maya. Speaking of Maya, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Daivihi esha gunamai. Gunamai, my Maya is made up of three modes of material nature. Just like if we see in any TV screen or any movie, basically there are just three colors, RGB. Depending on what technology, some people say the basic three colors are red, yellow and blue. But there are three basically. So it's all just the pixels are just there. But the whole picture forms and one feels that some maybe there is some love, there is some fear, there is some anger. So this is what is Maya, made up of Daivi Esha Gunamai. Mama Maya Durattaya. Krishna says that it is very, very difficult to surpass. Maam eva ye prapadyante, maya me tam tarantite. One who surrenders to me, he will come back. So, this analysis of how there is no time, no sun, and how we can experience them in the association of devotees also gives us hope that spiritual world is accessible over here. Krishna says, Yoga Kshemam Vahamiham. In Bhagavad Gita, there is one shloka which says that whatever you lack, I provide. And whatever you have, I preserve that. So, it just does not only mean of the material things. Usually, we feel that if I need an apple, so Krishna will give me an apple. If I have an apple, he will keep it. But it's also relating to the spiritual progress. One humorous way, somebody said that we are feeling some spiritual progress in life. Not because of our own efforts. We are progressing despite our efforts. Despite our negativities, despite our anarthas, somehow we feel some change in our ambitions in life. Somehow we feel some better, at least some sattva gun coming compared to in the student days or wherever. No one was born a saint. And I remember a saying, every saint has a past and every sinner has a future. So yoga kshemam vahamiham, Krishna gives those blessings and one can advance. And that's why it is said, one should stop thinking of getting back at someone, rather start thinking of getting back, going to Godhead, getting back to Godhead. So that is one thing. And somebody may feel after practicing for a long time, it is boring in spiritual life also. But then no problem, people go to a job, even though it may be a boring thing. And whether they feel like it or not, they study. So there are so many things which we don't experience bliss and ecstasy all the time. But nevertheless, we do it. So I'll just end with the reading the purport lines again. Just few lines. Prabhupada is saying, the primary information of the kingdom of God informs us that there is no need of sun, moon or electricity, which are all necessary in this material world of darkness. That is primary information. And the secondary information of the kingdom of God explains that anyone is able to reach that kingdom by adoption of the civilization of soul. Bhakti Yoga. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram. We could take a few questions. Yes, sure.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Very nice class. Very well organized. But I do have one point that I wanted to bring up.
I'm ready to be corrected.
Okay, I have to correct you. So, when you were playing that flute, Is it Janmashtami or
Gorpurva? Yeah, Janmashtami. Eight hours straight.
Almost midnight.
Yes.
Was it Burfi, did you say?
Yeah, kind of Sandesh Burfi.
Sandesh.
I was too enamored. I was thinking of the texture.
Sandesh. So, was that offered to Krishna?
Yes.
Okay. So, you said, I could have been thinking of Krishna, I could have thought of Lord Chaitanya, but I was thinking of that Sandesh. But that Sandesh is Krishna Prasad, and you were thinking of Krishna Prasad.
Hare Krishna. Yes, yes.
So that was transcendental meditation.
That was
Krishna. Now, if it was Bhoga,
yes,
the
yes.
Rascal number one.
Yes, yes, yes.
That was Krishna Prasad. And the other point that you brought up that I was
yes,
wanted
please.
To share with ideas I had is this thought of the materialists.
Yeah.
They say there is no spiritual sky. We say there is spiritual sky. We say there's material. And then there's material world. They say, no, all there is this material world.
Yes.
Yet they aspire. They go through great efforts to defend it. People like Joseph Stalin, who killed 20 million of his own people. This character, Mao Zedong, right, from China, killed 40, starved to death, 40 million of his own people. Right? Adolf Hitler and so on. There's one guy named
Hitler.
Hitler, yeah, Hitler, of course, killed so many people. But Charlie Manson, you heard of him? Charles Manson? He murdered a few people. Okay. They also said there was no God. So, those people, you can follow them. They're saying there's no, or who are saying there's God? Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada, Bhakti Charu Swami, Narada Muni, Srila Vyasadeva, open the front book of your Bhagavatam. All of those sages, they say, yes, there is. So, who are you going to follow? Adolf Hitler, Mao Zedong, or Srila Prabhupada? So, the choice is yours. I'd rather follow a winner than loser. Hare Krishna.
Hare, Hare, Hare Krishna. Very, very informative, very devotional. Thank you, Prabhu. Should we end here? Granth Raj, Srimad Bhagavatam ki,
Jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki,
Jai.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Bol. Guguranga Das Prabhuji ki. Thank you.